John chapter 8, and let's begin at verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in a master's house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Watch what happened here. Jesus first said that if you abide in my word, in God's word, you're my disciples, you're my learners and students. And the truth that you know truth, you learn truth, the truth you know will make you free. But then the folks said, "Wait a minute, hold on. We are Abraham's descendants. We are Jews. We are people of God. We're God's chosen people. How can you say we'll be made free?" In their mind, they were already free. They were as free as they needed to be. They had all the freedom they thought they needed, okay? They had the wrong mindset, because whenever we think we have enough of something, that leads to something called complacency. And complacency is the cause for a lot of inaction, a lot of things that get things not done, missing out on a lot of things. So inaction comes from complacency, which comes from thinking, "I have everything I need already." Well, let's not believe that, because that's not the way forward. And notice when Christ said, then he said, verse 36, his response was, "No, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Say, "Free indeed." Free. That phrase, "free indeed," is what really changes the whole equation with what freedom actually is. There's what people call freedom. There is freedom at different levels, civil and all that, and government and. But there's a level of freedom that only Jesus Christ can offer. That's why he said free indeed, right? As to separate it from just what people think that freedom is only by itself. Isaac Newton said, "If I have seen further than others, it is by standing upon the shoulders of giants." So Isaac Newton recognized that he could do more, see more, was a great scientist, and yet he recognized that my freedom to see farther, what I have accomplished, has come because I'm on the shoulders of people who have enabled me to see further. Amen? Empowered me to see further. So then, that word empower is a very important word, isn't it? Say, "Thank God, I'm empowered." Amen. And so that by that empowering force, really of God's grace, then he and all of us have been able to see further, live better than our ancestors. So freedom is a treasure. It is a legacy. It's a treasure because it is valuable. Freedom is very valuable. It's very costly. It's a legacy because we did not create it. We only inherited freedom. So there are things in life that we did not create. It was here when we arrived. We have benefited from the labors of others, and thank God for that. That's the whole plan, isn't it? That others would benefit from our labors, right? I mean, obviously, at this stage of my life in ministry, I'm closer to the end than the beginning, so I hope that I've been able, well, I'm sure I have actually, been able to empower people and help them do things they could not do by themselves. The word empower means to give power and ability to do something that one could not do before. So then we all, in our lifetime, looking back, want to have that thought, "Thank God I can help some people." Now, how many of you help is not the point. I mean, when you help a lot of people, you become famous, okay? Help a few folk, they forget about you. But those who will help don't forget. But I'm saying that you're not remembered. It's not important. What's important is that you are empowered and empower others. Amen? All right. So Jesus, finish my phrase here. So then freedom and responsibility go hand in hand. So you can't say you're free, but then bear no responsibility for having the freedom. And we have a responsibility then to live a certain way and then to share what God's given us, right? So with freedom comes what?
Responsibility.
Responsibility. That's why we have a great free country, but many foolish things happen because people are free to do and live foolishly. They're free to speak in a foolish manner. People are free to do all kinds of things. Now, laws restrict illegal activity. And, for example, saying is, well, I'm free to shout fire in a crowded room. Yeah, you are, but there's a consequence to that. We deem that illegal, okay? So freedom is going to be constrained by law and by what is right morally. But the principle is we are free to act, free to speak, and that's very important. Foundation. So then, when Jesus then said, free indeed, he is referring to freedom in the total sense at every level. So then, going back to our text, the Jews, when Jesus said, abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, in truth, and you'll know truth, truth makes you free. Hold on, no, we're already free. No, not as free as you can be. See, I'm not as free as I can be. But I must take the limits off what I think freedom is. Jesus offered another level of freedom, called it free indeed. Now, we celebrate again this weekend the holiday of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., and again, celebrating not only his work, but celebrating an entire movement and lots of people in the movement. This film, Hidden Figures, is very impactful because it brought to light some people we hadn't heard about before. Now, truth be told, a lot of people are hidden, you know, because you can't see everybody what they did. It's not possible. But it's good to be able to see some people and hear about them, learn about some people who did great things. Because Dr. King was not a hidden figure. But there were many hidden figures in the movement. But the fact you're hidden doesn't mean you're not significant. Amen? And so that he represented an entire movement of which he was the most visible figure. But many people made that movement what it was. And what I like about the whole idea and the thoughts about what the movement represented is this concept of free indeed. Let me read to you a quote, maybe on the PowerPoint there. He said, we must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. Right? Now, he said that because when you're struggling to do something and people don't want you to do it, they get ugly and resist you. And we're aware of this. So the movement, civil rights movement, was not only a movement. In fact, it wasn't a movement of freedom. It was a movement to exercise the rights of freedom that they already had. Very important distinction. And the thing about it is, you can't do what you don't have. You cannot offer people what you don't have. So because these men and women were empowered and they knew they were free, they believed the Constitution, they were aware of God's grace, they were aware of their dignity and their rights as individuals and humans, then they insisted that what the country stands for, they should stand for. That you can't tell us we can't vote or be separated out in terms of segregation because that goes against my basic sense of freedom. See, when you are free indeed, you don't stop at what people offer you. Hallelujah. If it's more for you. Now, if people settle for segregation, many people did settle, They couldn't, you know, they had no power to resist it. Well, they didn't know how. There were some folk, some black, just, hey, it's the way it is, honey. Don't just, you know, always just drink over there at the colored fountain. Don't go in that door. Go in this door. Now, obviously, strategically, they had to do that for a season to stay alive. But there was always in the hearts of people, this is wrong. I shouldn't have to drink from that fountain or sit at the back of that bus. Because if you are a believer in Christ, and when Christ says, whom the Son makes free is free indeed, you feel like I belong everywhere I belong, everywhere I want to go. And that was what I believe motivated the leaders in the civil rights movement, that the fact they were preachers and Christians is not by happenstance. Only God could do through people what they did, because you must start with people who know who they are. You must have people who don't stop at, like the Jews here in the text said, oh, we're Abraham's sons. We already have our freedom. We have enough freedom. Now, they recognize we are free indeed through Christ. We have something more in Christ, and therefore we expect more from our government, from our city, and from ourselves. Y'all agree with that? So then, but the thing is, he said, we must conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. That's what he did. And I will say this to outgoing President Obama. He showed us that. President Obama has shown what it's like to operate a high plane of dignity and discipline. Disagreements all set aside. This was a man and his wife, Michelle Obama, who showed us integrity, courtesy, never embarrassed us. And even when he faced all those withering attacks, he just, you know, no drama Obama. Just stay cool. And I believe that that's a reflection of his character, no doubt about it. Not many of us would last long in a room when somebody's dissing you and talking about you, and you ain't gonna keep it in. So my point is, you know, we honor people, past and present, who were able to operate at a higher level of freedom. Listen, when you are free indeed, you can stay in control of yourself. When you have access to a greater power than the power of God, and you can handle your business. You can let God take care of you and help you through the difficult seasons. Amen, somebody? So then, Dr. King and people in the movement had a possession of, they possessed spiritual and intellectual capacity to deal with what they were facing. Because you cannot face what they faced and not be strong spiritually. Any moral situation, listen, y'all, nobody's perfect. Dr. King wasn't perfect. We know this for a fact. But the foundation was strong. So then, intellectually and spiritually, he and the people could handle the problems and face the challenges because, frankly, they were way smarter than their enemies. Just smarter. And more spiritual. And knew God better than the enemies, than the people who were opposing them. The Bible says in Psalms 119:98, watch this, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Dr. King was the smartest man in most any room he was in. And that's not insignificant. Because we have to possess the ability to think through something to get some things done. So I say that to honor him and to honor anybody who faces any challenge, and to also to encourage you. The reason we are free indeed, the reason we're educated, the reason we continue to learn, academic, otherwise, because we want to be in position to be smart enough and have enough of the mind of Christ to handle situations that arise. Y'all agree with that? Amen. So that in the 21st century, here we are all these years past the civil rights movement. We have the right to vote. We have almost all the rights have been achieved. I mean, everything's been done foundationally. Even though there's still people who don't believe other people should have access to things, the laws have been changed. The hearts may not change. But the point is, we have the right to exercise our freedom. But here's what amazes me is that having these rights and having this freedom, a lot of people don't even exercise the right. It shows you the problem we have, not with freedom, but of exercising freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So what impressed me most about the movement and Dr. King and all the young men, as John said, they were young, 30s. You know, I've been young. I've been doing this since I was in my 20s. I understand being young and on fire for God. And being old and on fire for God, too, by the way. Amen. It shouldn't change. My point, though, is I understand that perfectly because you don't do certain things. You don't take the risk. You won't even try if you don't believe the Son has made you free and free indeed. Listen, y'all, if I didn't believe we were free, I never would have challenged the zoning board. When I went to that meeting across the way there and sat in the room with all these rich people and gave me a list and said, now, Reverend Hudson, we if you go to one of these properties, we'll support you. But he said, you must not, if you stay here, we'll oppose you. I'm thinking, oppose me? It's not me you're opposing. I'm not the one you got to deal with. But I sat in the room, I said, well, sir, I just respectfully, I don't know what I said exactly, but words to the effect of, I don't think so. Anybody who didn't vote need to just shut their mouth. I don't mean if you couldn't vote. If you had the opportunity and did not, then see, that's you're not free indeed. Because see, being free indeed isn't what you say, it's what we do. So whether I represent God in the church and doing things in the city to help people, or whether it is to expose injustice, or just speak out when it's necessary, these are things that I believe honor the memory of Dr. King and the whole movement. Not to the point, listen, not to be vitriolic and evil and mean-spirited, but to be strong. And as you say it here, this phrase again, that we would forever conduct our struggle on a high plane of dignity and discipline. That makes sense? All right. Let me show you the video now. I got a video I'm going to show you. I found this online. I did put two pieces together. It's about 5 minutes long. And these are actually the words of Dr. King. Some of you have heard, some of you haven't heard or heard on a recent basis. We all know about the I Have a Dream speech. But I want you to watch this video and understand my point here. I'm not only honoring the man. He's not a god to me, okay? But he's an example of what I'm preaching right here. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And when you know you're free indeed, then you're going to exercise the freedom that God gave you or what's promised to you. And you're going to be empowered to not only secure that for yourself, but for your children and your community. All right? So watch the video.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say, we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around. We aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
I am a segregationist.
You love your little niggas. I love who I please.
I feel that nonviolence is really the only way, because violence is just so self-defeating. A riot ends up creating many more problems for the Negro community than it solves. You can, through violence, burn down a building, but you can't establish justice. You can murder a murderer, but you can't murder murder through violence. You can murder a hater, but you can't murder hate. And what we are trying to get rid of is hate.
Can we honestly say that it doesn't affect our security and the fight for peace when Negroes are denied their full constitutional rights?
We must come to see that the end we seek is a society at peace with itself. And that will be a day not of the white man, not of the black man. That will be the day of man as man. Segregation in public transportation will pass away. The Negro citizens will return to the buses on a non-segregated basis.
Things that are being done by you will make Birmingham a better city for everybody.
I have a dream. My four little children one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream.
Bring the attention of the nation to this whole issue in Selma, Alabama.
What he's asking for is right.
How long? Not long.
Not so.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
That we as a people will get to the promised land.
The time has come for the president to sign an executive order outlawing segregation.
Register to vote.
We will speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
All right. So then, in my research and preparing even this video, I found it was difficult to even find media that reminded us that Dr. King was a preacher, but that more importantly, the whole movement was really rooted in prayer. Prayer is the thing you almost never see connected to the movement. We always see the marches and the speeches, but history is making prayer a hidden figure with respect to what really was the foundation to the freedom that people began to access and began to demand. So I want to encourage us. We're well past the era. We have secured all the rights we need, really. We have everything we need. But now we have another problem of then needing to have Jesus to reveal to us what it means to be free indeed. So we're not like those Jews over there who said, oh, we got enough. I'm of the children of Abraham. I'm African-American, and my granddad and dad was in the movement. You can't just hang your hat on what people did in the past only and think that's free enough for me. No, the freedom we need goes all the way to the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is in your life, what he's doing in your life. Because I believe that it's only by the conviction we gain from knowing Christ we have the desire to do things. And I mention this again, not to try to beat some drum and blow my own horn, but the things that I do, people of God, is from that conviction. What Ophelia's done with Freetown Village is the same thing. You don't try to do hard things and things that incur expense and difficulty if you don't believe there are levels of freedom that people need to achieve. They can't get there without Jesus Christ, without people of God motivating them. Amen? So understand that. And receive that, please. Let me go on here. I'm going to read quite a bit. I want to get through this and be precise and concise as possible. When I say the word freedom, let me give you a definition of freedom. And this is in a dictionary. You can look up. Freedom defined: the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint, or absence of subjection to domination or despotic government. That's a civil definition of freedom. Absence of subjection to domination or despotic government. What does despotic mean? A despot is a ruler who has total power and often uses that power in cruel and unfair ways. We've had many despotic leaders in our nation. Of course, in the South, when Dr. King came up, a lot of those mayors and governors, George Wallace, you know, Bull Connor, these are all despotic people who use their power in cruel and unfair ways. And I would say it's not beyond the power of people today to be despotic, to have power and be cruel with it. That's wrong, amen? And that's something that people who are made free, who are free indeed, are not going to be silent about. When you see it, you're going to be compelled to speak to it if that's your calling. So Dr. King and the movement showed us that willingness, even though we've secured the basic rights, but now there are dangers and there are threats to the rights of people just to act on what they have freedom to do. I was thinking, now look at this, another quote from Dr. King. It says, there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular, but he must do it because conscience tells him it is right. So who does that today? Why would somebody think like that and speak like that? You can only speak like that if you are free indeed. If you know that the Lord has given you grace and you understand, respect his grace and his authority, you're going to use what God's given you and not allow yourself or your environment or people to dictate what you cannot do. So that we are free indeed. Now, let me give you a definition of empower. Gave it this first day of the year. To empower is to help people gain power and authority to do something great. So then, who are the people who empower people? Well, it's the people who are free indeed, whose freedom come from Christ. And I keep using this word free indeed. Let me define, if I have it here, the word as is used in the text, what indeed means. I have it here. Don't go back to the slide, but I'll just share it here. When it says free indeed, the word indeed, it means truly, in reality, in point of fact, as opposed to what is pretended, fictitious, false, or conjecture. So free indeed is reality. Not just the limited reality and freedom of my own religion, not just the limited freedom of even what, you know, someone said I can and can't do. It's the freedom that goes all the way to what Jesus did for me. And then in a civil way, what the Constitution says belongs to us. Amen? So then people who have that mindset, who are free indeed, will take positions that sometimes endanger their lives or endanger their reputation or endanger risk of persecution. But saints of God, that's what it takes for us, I believe, to really be effective in this world. Not to go out looking for trouble and trying to get in trouble, trying to get beat up. We're kind of past that, thank God, in our generation. But how about just standing up in small ways? Standing up in your workplace when appropriate. Standing up, you know, in among friends and family. How about just take a stand for Christ? And more than that, what about we get out of our own world sometime and go out and reach those that Christ said we're called to reach? And that's the heart of what we do in this church and what Christ has called us all to do, to be salt, to be light. Amen. To go all into all the world and be a witness unto him. Y'all believe that? I know you do. Another quote I'm going to read to you from Dr. King. This is a little long, but listen to it. It's on the screen as well. Jesus recognized the need for blending opposites. He knew that his disciples would face a difficult and hostile world where they would confront the recalcitrance of political officials and intransigence of the protectors of the old order. He knew that they would meet cold and arrogant men whose hearts had been hardened by the long winter of traditionalism. And he gave them a formula for action. Be ye therefore as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We must combine the toughness of a serpent with the softness of a dove, a tough mind and a tender heart. Oh, he preached. You have to be free indeed to speak like this. Understand life this way, right? You have to be more spiritual and smarter than your enemies. Amen. To deal with them. I just want to emphasize to you, my point is, you don't think that way, you don't talk that way, unless you are free indeed. Not just free, free indeed. And that when we become free indeed and empowered by Christ, we'll begin stepping out and doing things that will empower, that God will empower us to do things that will help people in all new ways. Amen, somebody? Amen. Let's talk now about financial freedom in connection to this whole message. Because we're free indeed, we must include freedom from debt. The truth is, the Bible says a borrower is servant to the lender. And people who are free indeed should also be free from debt. Say amen. Amen. That's our goal. That's our objective. That's what God's will is. Because ultimately, if we're drowning in debt, we can't get a whole lot done because we're serving debt, not serving God. Is that correct? Amen. Now, from that, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That verse to me speaks on many different levels. On the freedom level, it says that the freedom God gave you, what you inherited by being born into a free nation, and now have discovered, you know, other freedoms as being a citizen, and now as a Christian, you're free indeed. I mean, everything about freedom, God's going to complete it and finish it one way or another. In a sense that you are free to do some things that God wants you to do. To do projects, to do ministry, to do business, to do something with your rights that you have the power to do. You have the power to excel in your academics, the power to excel in your work. Amen. You are free to excel. You are free to be all that God has given you power to become. You believe that?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I remember being in school and you know, having, I understood things, just didn't work on things. I would have vocabulary tests. We have 100-word vocabulary, both definitions and spelling. I just do it night before, memorize the whole thing night before, and go ace the test the next day. I was smart like that. Now don't ask me a week later what this stuff meant. That's the problem with cramming. When you cram, it's temporary knowledge for the moment, and a week later, you don't know half of what you said. That's why studying and cramming aren't the same thing. So we're about studying. We're about having the freedom to practice the habits that give us long-term success, not just short-term success, right? So we are free. He says, he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it. Say, God will complete what he starts in me. But I've got something to do with that. It's not like, okay, I'm going to start this project and God's going to finish it for me. It's not what he's saying. No, you're going to finish it because God's going to help you finish it.
Amen.
But you got to get into it, right? So when it comes to anything in life, now this thing with debt, you know, I've got a couple items of personal debt I got to clear out. But I want to make this announcement to you right now. Find that slide if you could, please. I am pleased to announce that this year, New Covenant Church will become completely debt-free. Give God's praise for that. Praise him for that. Now, the pastor got some work to do, but the church is going to be free. We already got just one debt left. That's the mortgage. Now, I'm sharing this because it really ties together. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, I want to make a distinction between consumer debt and debt with respect to an asset like real estate. Because, yes, we got a loan for this building. It was debt. But now we've also got, I don't know the number now, but $800,000. I don't know the number, but several hundred thousand dollars. This is an asset now, you know, we own, okay? Free and clear very soon. Versus credit card debt, and you buy a pair of shoes, wear the shoes out, and you're still paying for the shoes. Come on, somebody. You know, go in debt, go on the trip, take the trip, come back, still paying for the trip. Trip was 5 years ago. You're still paying on the trip. Or that steak dinner you got at Ruth Chris. $50 steak dinner. Probably costs more than that. 75, 80. I ain't been in there quite a while. Keep going up. Okay. $100 steak dinner. Put it on credit card. That was last year. You're still paying on the dinner you had last year. Now, that kind of debt, that's the really stupid, crazy bondage type debt right there. At least a car and a house becomes some kind of asset. My point, though, is human son sets free is free indeed. We can't stop with spiritual freedom. We can't stop, you know, with singing the song, you know, hallelujah, I'm free. You're not really free, you know. That's a song you're singing by faith. Every song you say I'm free, it should be changed to I'm going to soon be free. I'm going to soon be free. Free at last, free at last. Well, no. So I have to focus here because I want to also introduce, and watch my time here, I want to also introduce our plan to pay the building out and get some things done. Let me finish the message here part first, okay? Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We are stewards. Say, I'm a steward. We're stewards, not owners, not just owners. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, let a man so account us as stewards of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. A steward is defined as one who manages the property and affairs of another. So then, I don't own my life. I've been bought with a price by Christ. But before I was born again, I still was a gift from God to the world in terms of my life. And when it comes to the things God's blessed me with, whether it's family, whether it's ministry, whether it's business, resource, finance, whatever, I understand I'm responsible for it. I do technically own some things, but my mindset is I'm a steward. Because when you are a steward and you realize I'm only managing what I've been given, then I'm more willing to be accountable for my stewardship. You ever receive that? He says there, so one, it's required that a steward be found faithful. Everything belongs to God. He gives us the privilege of caring for it and enjoying it while we're caring for it. You know, if someone lets you live in a house that they owned, and you live in that house for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, you start thinking, this is my house now. And the 11th year, owner make a call and say, hey, I'm coming back to the city, want my house back. You're like, your house? I've been there 10 years. It was never your house, right? So the mindset is we understand in our thinking that, God, I am managing what you've given me. And that's a far healthier way to look at your life. Because if you have an ownership mindset, that might lead to waste and abuse and so forth. I'll give you an example of this. In John chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus fed the multitude and told the people, gather up the fragments so that nothing will be lost or wasted. Now, Jesus worked a miracle, right, of the 5,000 feeding the people, right? He could have worked a miracle of cleanup. All the fragments. Folk, you know, biting bread, breaking it off, dropping it on the ground, right? He could have worked a miracle for all the fragments to be cleaned. He told the people, pick up all these fragments out here. And that was stewardship. Because it showed the people that this miracle God wrought, you had a part in it. Your part is to appreciate it enough to pick up the fragments. Don't be wasteful. Good story, good insight from Joyce Meyer. And so that we have the same spirit where we are managing the property and affairs of God, even though, you know, your name is on it, it belongs to you. I know that. But your mindset is, God gave this to me, and I'm responsible to handle it. I believe Dr. King and the movement had the same sense of stewardship, that they were even involved with the movement out of a sense of stewardship as being citizens, as being called of God, educated, being in position to do something. How could you not act if you have been given the wherewithal to take action? You've got the resource, the intelligence, you've got the position, you're a pastor, whatever. Why would you not be a steward and to speak into situations that would help people, and that if you didn't speak into it, they would not be helped? That's the sense we have as stewards, is that I'm answerable to God, not just for my house and my wife and my children and my things, but for even everything God has given me influence towards. And some things that I have no influence over. God just says, go over there and help. So then everybody has a different way of doing that. But I would suggest to you, it's about stewardship. So then where concerns are resources and finances, with the church coming to a place of being debt-free. The thing about the church is, guess what? We are the church. Say, I am the church.
I am the church.
Say, I am
going to be
debt-free.
Debt-free.
See, whatever your church is getting into, you're getting into. Amen? Whatever your church is doing, you're doing. The victory we have, we have. This is our victory. And we have been good stewards over the resources and to come to this point. But if it weren't for the people of God and your giving and your prayers, your support and tithes and offerings, we would not be at this point right now. Ushers, pass out the sheet, and I'm going to get the presentation. I'll be out of here as soon as I can, but please let me talk about this piece and share with you how that, by the grace of God, we are free indeed and free forever. So pass them out quickly, please. Help him pass them out, if you could. Yep. May have one also, please. I forgot to bring one up here for myself. And also give one to Jonathan and Galen as well. Everybody to see it. Oh, come on, get one if you could, John. Save my trip back there. Thank you. Okay, so let me now transition this part of the message. I'm still preaching because all this, I believe, fits the theme that God has given to us. Free indeed and free forever. That the very thing that God has begun, the good work he has begun, he will complete it. He will complete it. Until the day of Jesus Christ. And people who are free indeed can be aggressive with the material things in life. Not complacent, but aggressive. And so I've got a couple of personal debts I'm working on, and I'm looking forward to, you know, as I bless God, God blessing me to retire my own personal debt. But I'm happy again to say that the church will be debt-free in 2017. Now, these points are also on the screen. Good, you have them on screen. All right, let me show you, first of all, where we started. 1999, when we already had the building, but then we added on the addition, built the addition on the whole north side, multi-purpose room, all that was added on to the existing building. And once we got all that done, the new loan was $750,000, where we started. In that vicinity. I'm not exactly sure that number. That's vicinity. And so now, as of this month, when we make the payment for this month, we only owe $33,200. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Now, you know, when you talk in terms of personal organization, you got to think separately because, I mean, personally, these are like crazy numbers. But for an organization, these numbers are, you know, not far-fetched, okay? Now, here's the deal. Our monthly payment is shown there, $3,400 and some change. That's our monthly payment. And here's the beauty of paying things down. We have principal payment of that amount. The principal is $3,240. Interest is $168 and going down every month. Now, when you bought your house, remember what it's like, 30-year mortgage? The principal you pay was $1, maybe $5. No, I'm kidding. I'm exaggerating. But you were paying a little bit of principal and a whole lot of interest. That's why you got to pay things down quickly. That's why you don't want to do 30-year mortgage. If you can, just don't do 30-year. Do 15. Can't afford 15. Afford 15. Try to afford 15. Because 30 years, you're going to be hooked up for a long time. And look 10 years later, and you're still only paying a little bit of principal. And we were there as a church. I understand it. I'm not condemning. I'm just saying, looking back, we could have been more aggressive than we were. But here we are. So then, the goal is to pay off the mortgage by September. But the thing is, if we don't do anything extra, we'll pay it out by November. Just regular payments, we'll pay this thing off by November. I'm happy for that. But if we can do a little extra, we can pay it off by September. And by paying more, we're going to save the interest as well. Less interest every month. Make an extra payment. So here's the plan. The plan is how we pay it off. Make regular payment, $3,400. and then make extra principal payment of at least $1,000 a month. So what I'm asking you to do is two things. I'm asking us together to help by donating, giving a Building His Kingdom Fund above and over tithes and offerings, an extra $1,000 combined, I'm saying. All of us together give $1,000 a month. Which, how much is that a week? Roughly. So we can easily do, all of us together can do $250 a week, right? Can we? Amen? Right. But how much more can we do then? Because we have other things to do. We have a roof to repair, the roof, the flat roof. I'll be positive. Thank God for a flat roof. I'll just say it like that. And thank God, in all things, give thanks. Amen? All right. But it's a high maintenance proposition. It may cost less to build that way, but it costs way more to maintain. So we have work to do up there. We cannot, replacing it is $50,000, not feasible right now. But repairing it and keeping it upgraded is feasible, $16,000. And Elder Hudson has retired from doing the roof work. He's retired from it, amen? So we're hiring other people to do that. He'll oversee it. But it's, he did. Thank you, Dad. Praise you, brother. Thank God for my dad. You can see his work from space, okay? Go Google Earth and find New Covenant Church. You'll see from space the work Dad did up there. It's incredible what he's done up there. I can't even find the words to express how amazing and incredible it is, how hard it is, what he's done. And so that when we ask you to do a little something like give extra to a mortgage, you can do that. I'm not saying go on the roof. I'm saying give some money. I'm not telling you go up on the roof, do something. I'm asking just to give a little more extra money. But here's the thing, though. $1,000 a month will handle paying out the mortgage early, but we need to have more resources for roof work, HVAC replacement. We have all these units. They die from time to time. We have to add one here. The things have to be done. We want to paint. I really got it. That green really has to go. If I see that green one more time, you know, the green. What green? See how bad it is? You know you're impressed. It's oppression when something bad, you get used to it. Talk about the green, all that green in the foyer, north foyer. Remember, that green. Yeah, that green. That needs to go. Can we agree on that? But see how it is? We've been down so long, getting up never crossed our mind. But truth be told, we want to rent a couple of spaces over there. So I think the green is not conducive to getting a good tenant, an office-type rental. Not a church, an office. So let me cut. I'm just going on. But the various projects, $5,000, that's on the very low side. So here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to pray and make a decision to make a weekly or monthly contribution to help retire the debt on the facility by September 1st or sooner. And then whatever extra we're committing to give, that can go towards the other projects that have to be done. Amen? So there's no one number just yet. I'm just asking you to be prayerful, and we'll gather up what you commit to today, report back to you, maybe ask you to increase your commitment. Others who aren't here today have the opportunity to be involved with this. But I'd love for us to have our September anniversary and get a trash can, the whole symbolic burning thing, and get a trash can and get some the last bill and set fire to it. It's called burning the mortgage, you know. This is symbolic, burn the mortgage. And you celebrate and holler and jump around like, hallelujah, we did it. Because it's something worth celebrating, isn't it? Amen. Not just that, the church, but then as we individually become debt-free. Amen. And reduce debt and retire debt and move that direction more aggressively, we can rejoice. Because everything God does for his church, he's doing for us because we are his church. Amen. Y'all receive that? Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to share this message. Thank you for the patience of people to receive it all. Thank you, Lord God, for the fact that it all begins with what Jesus said, what Jesus did, that he said if we abide in him and his words abide in us, we'll be his disciples. And the truth that we know will make us free. And so when there's resistance to that thought, and when someone says, well, Lord, we're already free, then you say, no, who the Son sets free is free indeed. That there's something much more than what we think we already have. What we have is good, but there's way more available. And Lord Jesus Christ, that's what you've made available to us. And so the freedom that we have in you is the power to know you, the power to love you, the power to live in accordance to your will and word. It is the power to be free from sin, from all ungodly influences, demonic or carnal, and to fulfill the character of Christ. This is the freedom that we have in you. And Lord, thank you that because we're free indeed in our lives, in our working environments, in our society and community, Lord, we're able to speak life where there is spirit of death, to bring light where there's darkness, to be salt and light.